It's the spookiest time of year, and my favorite time. Being an October baby myself, I can tell you, this is definitely the best month of the year. The pumpkins come out, the leaves start changing color, air gets nice and crisp. It's time for ghost stories, monster encounters, and tales of creeps of all shapes and sizes. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. As always, these stories were sent in by viewers just like you. These are allegedly true stories about creepy things that have happened on the day of Halloween. I know this video is a little early, but I have a couple more Halloween surprises for you this month, so don't be too quick to write off the Halloween spooks just yet. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to send it in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Before we get into these scary stories from viewers just like you, I have a quick message from today's sponsor. It is my favorite time of year for horror movie marathons, but I have already spent the past few months staring at screens, which is why I was so excited when this Blair Witch game was released. It is like being in a horror movie without getting any blood or guts on your clothes. I love horror movies, and one of my first loves was the Blair Witch movie. This really ignited my love for found footage films. The shaky camcorder footage of an adventure into those cursed woods was one of the first times I was truly terrified from watching a movie. It seemed so real, so genuine. That is why I am excited to announce this Blair Witch game by Hunt a Killer. I am really excited about this one. You guys know how much I love to share lesser-known true crime cases on the channel. Hunt a Killer is a subscription box that is more than just a game. Hunt a Killer is usually sending out murder mysteries, but they have partnered with Lionsgate to tell us a story that takes place in the Blair Witch cinematic universe in celebration of Halloween. It is honestly the scariest tabletop game that I have ever played. I have played horror board games before, and this is not like the rest. This game is exceptionally good at leaving you unsettled and freaked out. It is the perfect activity to play during social distancing. My friends and I hop on a video call every time our boxes arrive and work through the game together. I genuinely really enjoy this game, and I look forward to playing many more Hunt a Killer mysteries in the future. I would say my favorite part of it all is the way it brings you together with your loved ones without the need of anything fancy. Right now, just for Swamp Dweller viewers, you can go to huntakiller.com/swamp and use code SWAMP for 20% off your first box. Can you survive the curse of the Blair Witch? I guess I should start with a little backstory from my experience to make more sense. It was Halloween in 2005. I was around 4 years old at the time. We had just gotten home from trick-or-treating when my stepfather asked if I wanted to see something scary. I was always a weird kid who absolutely loved horror movies, gore, and all of that. I cannot really say that ever changed now that I'm older. Anyway, he took me into the pitch-black bathroom and told me the story of Bloody Mary. It was the first time I had ever heard the story, and even at 4 years old, I laughed it off. He saw that I was not scared, smirked, and ran out of the bathroom, holding the door closed behind him. I begged him to let me out, even screamed when he started chanting. It was there that I felt this presence. It was behind me. When I turned, I just saw this ooze of black coming from the mirror. That is the most scared that I have ever been. What scared me the most, though, was that ooze. It felt like an eternity as I saw this woman. A fully grown woman, crawled out of the mirror. She just looked like a normal person. I was terrified still. That is when I saw her claws. I screamed even louder, until finally my mother opened the door for me. She was already upset at my stepfather for locking me in the bathroom. But when she saw my tear stains, and the sheer terror on my now pale face, she was furious. I don't remember the rest, but I know he never tried to do that to me again. Flash forward a few months. I don't remember exactly, but it was after my birthday, and I believe I had just turned 5. For some reason, Ever since that incident, I had been seeing things out of the corners of my eye. Always seeing shadows running around, saying hello and waving to people who apparently were not there. Seeing as I was just a toddler at the time, people seemingly wrote it off as an overactive imagination. However, this night, I was able to convince my mother to switch rooms with me. If I watched out for my baby sister, I was okay to sleep alone in there. I was in a dead sleep when I just woke up. I cannot remember if something had woken me up or if it was just a night terror, but I had woken up exactly at 12 a.m. on the dot. Surprisingly, I was wide awake, as if I was never asleep in the first place. I looked over at my sister in her crib and saw that she was still asleep. I was happy I did not wake her up. Then I looked across the hall into my bedroom where my mother was sleeping in my bed. She was still asleep as well, but I had to take a second glance because I thought I saw something. It was in the hallway between us, shadows running back and forth as if to distract me. Then I saw this black ooze. The same ooze that I saw on Halloween with her. I was silent. I did not know what to do, but this time, I, for some reason, did not feel scared. I was, in a way, comfortable. I saw the shadow and the ooze rise from her hand and her arm. Her chest to her wrist and her legs were all radiating the stuff. She looked like an old Victorian woman. Her dress was that of a noblewoman in that area. Her hair was done in a beautiful braided bun, and she looked incredibly beautiful. She gracefully walked around my bed to the foot of it and bent over, seemingly upset to see my mother in my bed, almost as if she were wanting to see somebody else there. That is when I made eye contact. I did not notice her turn around and look straight at me. She moved quicker and vanished into the black hallway. I thought she had gotten scared or something. That is when I heard something in our kitchen. This was a small apartment, so for me to hear something in the kitchen was not necessarily weird, but since nobody was awake, it was kind of scary. I thought my mother would have woken up, but she did not. I looked over at my sister, making sure she was still asleep, and to my relief, she was. It only took a quick glance, but when I looked back at the hallway, my heart stopped. There she was. She was bent under the doorframe because of how tall she was. She walked into the room, towards my sister's crib. I figured the woman was simply curious about her. This is when she stopped, and I noticed she had something in her hand. I got terrified. She had a knife. It was not like a normal knife, though. It was shadowy and oozy like she was. I was frozen. She raised up her knife, and I was finally able to scream, "Don't touch her!" I sat straight, with the feeling of how I should not have done that. She stared dead at me, knife still in hand. She turned towards me and started walking around the bed to where I was. She tilted her head to the side and bent down to get closer. This scared the daylights out of me. I do not know why. I don't know if it was the fear of her or the fear of what she was doing, but I was frozen. Maybe it was just the presence of being around her. I finally screamed for my mother. It took until about my fifth scream until my mother rushed in, turning on the light, asking me if I was okay and what was wrong. I was panting and crying, barely able to speak. She could not see her, and she wouldn't believe me. I don't remember the rest of that night. All I know is that I potentially saved my baby sister's life that night. That is still going through my mind now and again. It still freaks me out. I'm nearly 20 years old now, and I have never seen her again. But I do get glances of her every now and again from the corner of my eye, almost as if it was daring me to try to summon her again. All I know is, she is one of the reasons why I see things now, why I believe in the paranormal, and for that, I will remain somewhat grateful. When I was in high school, a couple of girls I went to school with invited me along on a Halloween sleepover. So after getting permission from my mom, I caught the school bus after school the next day with my friend Andrea. That is whose house we were all meeting at after school. We were all about 15 or 16 years old at the time, all from Tyler, Texas, or the close-by surrounding cities. After everyone arrived, we all started getting ready for a Halloween night outing at one of the richest neighborhoods in our city. this area was known as Holly Tree. Sure, we were all a bit old for trick-or-treating, but what the heck, we did it anyway. After we all returned and dressed in our pajamas, we all decided we wanted to go for a nighttime walk. Take note, Andrea lived out in the country, so these were mostly dirt roads, with some street lighting. We were all too young to smoke, so once we got out of eyesight of the house, we began to light up our cigarettes. There were five of us that night. Me, Andrea, my cousin Tina, Lacey, and Bianca. We were all walking, laughing, and talking until we came upon a big white house. Earlier in the evening, we had passed this house on the school bus, and Andrea told me that the lady that lives there did witchcraft. She said that something was mentally wrong with her. She lived and dressed like people back in the 1800s. She had no electricity and got her water from a well in her backyard. She only wore black dresses and had exceptionally long black hair. As the bus drove by, she was sitting on a huge front porch in a rocking chair. We saw her get up quickly and run in the house before the bus got close enough to get a good look at her. Now, I told you that part so you can understand where I am going with this story. As I was saying before, we were all walking and stopped when we came in front of her house. My friend Bianca kept saying, "Shh, shh, do you guys hear that?" At first, a few of us laughed because we thought she was just messing with us. That was until she was persistent with the, "Shh, guys, I'm serious, listen." So we were all quiet, and then we heard it. It was a whistling. Not just any whistling. It was like very in tune, old-timey kind of song. I started looking around to see where the whistles were coming from, as we all slowly started walking in silence. I was always the bravest of us all, kind of a tomboy, I guess you could say. Not to mention, I was the biggest in those days. Suddenly, Tina says in a quiet, shivering voice, "Oh my God, it's coming from the porch of the White House." At that moment, a car came around the corner down the road and the high beams shined a light on the house. We saw the porch for just a few moments. All the while, this whistling continued. When the lights hit the porch, we saw the woman dressed in all black rocking in a rocking chair out in her front porch. It appeared she kept rocking faster and faster. All of us froze now, taking in what we were seeing. As the light from the car started to fade, the house starts turning pitch black again until suddenly, the whistling stops. Suddenly, she bolts right out of the rocking chair in our direction. Her clothing was so black she blended in with the night. A big black dress with long black cloak over her shoulders. In fear or maybe shock, we all screamed and started running down this dirt road back towards Andrea's house. We went as fast as we could. I and Bianca were having a hard time keeping up because we were both a bit chunky in the midsection. We got to a spot in the road where a streetlight was, and we all stopped for a moment and looked back to see if she was still chasing us. All around us besides us where the light covered was pitch black. The clouds rested on the ground from the foggy night Halloween brought. We all were staring down the road in silence until suddenly, whistling broke the silence. Terribly low, scary, in tune whistling. We could not see anyone, so we all started walking back to Andrea's, cautiously watching our backs. I was trying to calm everyone down, telling them it was just her trying to scare us because of Halloween. Tina looked back once more, and I was still looking forward. The whistling again had stopped. We figured, okay, joke's over, she went back home. Crazy loon. Then once again, the whistles we heard started up again. We all stopped and looked back because it seemed every time we started walking, the whistles would get louder and louder. Next thing I knew, Lacey and Tina looked back past us and both scream and take off running as fast as they could. I looked back to see what I was running from. It was the witch in the black dress. She was running at full speed with her long black dress and cloak flying in the air, clearing the fog around her. I bolted because I was scared. At this point, I was all alone. The other girls had made it back already without me. I kept looking back in fear, thinking surely any time this lady is going to give up or laugh saying she got us. But she kept pursuing me on foot. She kept whistling. The crazy thing is her whistles never changed. It was in perfect harmony the whole time, and she was running full speed. This woman never stopped to take a breath or anything. That scared me because that cannot be human. When I got to Andrea's driveway, I got to the house and beat on the door because they had locked it. Yeah, I know, some friends, huh? When I got in, they asked if she was following me and I said yes, telling them what I saw and heard. Suddenly I heard Tina scream at the top of her lungs. I look up and she was pointing at the window. The witch had gotten on the roof and was hanging upside down, looking through the top of the window. Long black hair dangling down. She lifted her head up and suddenly, we could hear her walking on the roof. So at this point we called the cops because, well, what the heck were we supposed to do? What was she doing? As we were waiting for the police, we kept hearing her whistle while running on the roof above us. I armed myself with a kitchen knife, not like it would do much. When the police arrived, all the noise had stopped suddenly. The red and blue lights outside brought some ease to the fear that we were feeling. They showed up 3 cars deep, and we were telling them what happened. They searched the whole property and never found her, so they went down to the house where we told them she lived. We rode with the officer to point the house out. When we arrived, he informed us the woman we were talking about had hung herself a year from that day. The house was to be condemned, and no one has occupied it in a year. We were all terrified. Was it her ghost? I guess we will never really know. But that's a Halloween I'll never forget. This is going to sound like an intro to a bad horror movie, so I apologize about that, but I cannot really change the facts to make it sound any less, I guess, fake. Anyway, a couple of years ago in 9th grade, our class went to a lake near Poland for 6 days. It was in a big forest 2 hours away from the next town, and the only thing around us was a huge cornfield, a lake, and a campground. Lucky for us, we had been here before and knew the people who owned and rented the lake house, so we got to stay there even though it was usually only rented to younger students on class trips. What makes this cheesy is that the third day was Halloween. We did a night tour with a guide, but nothing really scary happened. That said, I got to hold my crush's hand, which was nice. So 2 days later, and half the class decides that, hey, we already have flashlights with us, so let's go on our own tour of the part of the forest that we did not get to go through. That part started if you followed the lake down to the only street, which was made out of dirt. Then you had to take a right around the lake instead of a left. Opposite the entrance was a huge cornfield that none of us paid any attention to because, you know, high grass, more bugs, stuff like that. My friend forgot her flashlight in her room, so while our group already started, I waited for her outside in the dark, scared out of my mind to be honest. My poor butt does not have a flashlight, and I was not about to spend a little money. Honestly, I didn't have much to spend, so I wanted to save all I could. I would probably only use it for a few times on this trip and then never use it again. I told myself everything was going to be okay. After all, this was not some cheesy horror movie, and I can still see the group from here, so none of them could really sneak up on me and play a prank. I waited for a bit, and next to me, coming from the lake, I heard something moving. Whatever it was, slowly crept closer, but I could not really see much of anything. At first, I brushed it off as the cat that belonged to the janitor of the house, but a second later I saw that the cat was on the other side of the street. Trying not to panic, I turned towards the noise and stared it down. Whatever it was, I was ready for the jump scare, because it certainly can't be anything bad, right? Before the noise got too close though, I heard my friend calling, and that is when the noise stopped. I decided not to tell her about the noise because I figured she wouldn't believe me anyway. We started walking down the street, and I should mention that on each side of the street was a thick forest. On the right was the lake, but you could hardly see it through the trees and the brush in the dark. So, we walked down the creepiest road I have ever been on in my life, and I had the worst anxiety. I had this feeling in my stomach like something was just not going to go right. It was like somebody was watching us, and it was making me panic. I kept asking my friend over and over again to hand me the flashlight so I could check behind us, but she kept refusing because she thought I would run away with it or do some sort of prank. When we reached the entrance to the forest bit our friends were in, she finally let me take the flashlight and look behind us. Now, that flashlight is an expensive one. It was so bright and far-reaching that you should never shine it into the sky because it could blind a pilot. I am not kidding either. It was while shining it around we saw a huge black shadow just standing there, not moving. It was quite tall and incredibly lanky. It did not have any clothes on, or maybe it did, but they must have been skin tight because there was nothing resembling clothes on its silhouette. There were no facial features or anything like that, just hair. Even though we were actively shining a light on this thing, it seemingly stayed completely black. We were mortified and could not move out of fear, but to our luck, our friends came running from the forest and suddenly the thing was gone. Our friends went on about finding an old abandoned shack with an old ghost lady in it. While they led us towards it, my friends and I both decided not to say anything because, again, it was not like as if anyone would believe us. Eventually, one of the girls reminded us to be careful of wolves and that it was probably one of those. I'm not going to mess with wolves in the dark where nobody can hear a scream. There's just no way, period. So after my clear refusal, my friends all just kind of followed me, realizing that their prank did not work and that it was getting late and boring anyways. We got out of the forest and looked at the cornfield across the street. There was nothing unusual going on. It was just a lot of tall grass and corn. Also of note was that there was nothing in that field but corn and tall grass. No scarecrow or similar kind of thing that farmers or whoever owned this land put out. When we started walking down the road towards our house again, I began having feelings that I was being looked at. So I looked over towards the crops, and there it was again. A black, inhumanly lanky figure. This one was much taller than the one that I had saw earlier. And it again was unmoving. It was not breathing. It had no hair that flew around in the wind like ours did. There was no silhouette of clothes. That all said, this time, our friends saw it too. They all stopped in their tracks and freaked out. We started hearing something running towards us from the forest behind us. Eventually, one of them started running towards the house and the others followed. I stayed and I kept shining a light on the figure. I kept trying to find any kind of explanation. I wanted to go up and see what it was. I wanted to see if it would react, but the running behind me got louder. Eventually, I remembered that there were wolves in this part of the forest, and that is when I tucked tail and ran after the others. When I reached the house, the others were staring behind me, so I looked back as well. This time, both figures were standing there, still and unmoving. Inside the house, we told the others and noted that everyone was still there. This meant it could not have been a prank by any of them. I was considering whether or not it was a prank by one of the camping people, but they were on the other side of the lake and pretty much older, so I very much doubt that. If it was somehow one of them, we would have seen hair, clothes, and some sort of facial feature by now, especially using that high-powered flashlight. We could not see breathing, movements, or anything. It's something I still think about very, very often. Being unsure of how to begin this story, I figured the best way would be just to come out and get to the point. On Halloween night, I was 12 years old, and I almost killed my best friend. Rather blunt, I know, but it happens to be completely true. I do suppose I should provide a little bit of backstory and context so everyone reading or hearing this will not go away with the impression that I'm a total psycho. I will do my best to explain myself in this situation without being too long-winded. The story goes something like this. The house I grew up in was located on 30 acres, about 6 miles outside of the nearest town. It had been in my family since just after the Civil War, when my Confederate veteran ancestor moved to the state from Louisiana. The first house that he built upon buying the land burned down within 5 years, so he was forced to build one my family has been inhabiting for the past 140 plus years. It was not anything grand, but it was enough for my parents and me to be happy in. The distance from our town meant I had to take the school bus back and forth every single day and did not have many friends close by to play with. Some weekends, I would just honestly spend my whole weekend on the farm. As a teenager, I did not think there was anything to do there, but as a younger kid, we never ran out of things to occupy us. One specific weekend happened to coincide with Halloween. So my folks told me to invite a handful of kids out to the farm. Obviously, we could not trick-or-treat in the middle of nowhere. My folks loaded us into a Suburban and brought us into town where they were having some kind of candy handout at the mall. When it was over, we went back to the farm and played some games on my PlayStation for a while. That got boring, and eventually, I asked if we could go outside and play hide and seek. My mom said yes, but we had to be back in by 11 p.m. I had always had fewer restraints on me when I was growing up. Being out in the country meant you were allowed to do pretty much whatever you want. Where I grew up, running through woods hunting rabbits and squirrels and walking miles across open fields to go fishing was the norm. Most of my friends could not even leave their yard without an adult going along. I can only assume that is how everyone in the family grew up, and my parents did not see anything wrong or dangerous with it. The night was a perfect one for hiding and seeking. The temperature had yet to grow cold, and there had not been any rain in several weeks. I gathered all the boys in a circle and laid out the boundaries and rules for the game. A few of them have stayed over before, so they were familiar with the area. I guess at this point I should mention that our house stood across the road from an old 19th century cemetery used by the surrounding farm families. It was used all the way up into the 1960s when they ran out of space to bury the dead. I had grown up next to it, so I wasn't scared to play there. But when I mentioned that it was inside the hiding boundaries, a couple of the boys kinda got freaked out. I assured them that the place was not haunted, and only after a lot of coaxing and a bit of, you know, shaming, I convinced them to play. We played a few quick games of rock, paper, scissors until we had our seeker and began the game. I and another boy ran straight for the cemetery and found our hiding places. I am not sure where the others went. Once the seeker finished counting, he started the search. Two or three made it to the tree that served as home base fast. We in the cemetery were the last two left. The seeker was soon combing through the cemetery for us. The boy that had hidden there with me blew past the kids seeking and made it home untouched. I tried to do the same thing, but the boy was ready this time, and I became it. The game started again when I finished counting. I headed to the most used hiding spots first. I did have an obvious advantage, but lack of moon made it very hard to see. A few boys got past me within the first minute. You know, one of the ones that hide so close to home base they can almost touch it. There is always one or two of those in a game, but the remaining two were hidden well. What seemed like 10 minutes or more, I still had not found any of them. I was beginning to get sick of looking. Right before I was about to give up, my best friend Troy popped out from under a rotten log on the edge of the cemetery and made a break for home. The hiding place he was in forced him to run away from the road and deeper into the cemetery. When he cut back toward the road, bringing him dangerously close to me, I missed him as he passed. We were both running our fastest, however. I was just a bit quicker and right in his tail. All he had to do was make it across the narrow road in the 6 feet or so to the tree, and then he was home free. We were perhaps just a little less than halfway across when this old blue-gray truck came barreling down the road. It was so close by this time that I could have honestly reached out and touched it. Maybe not, but damn near it. I did my only thing I could think of doing and threw my body against Troy's in hopes that I could knock him out of the path of the truck. I do not remember really being worried about myself, just him. He was my best friend after all, and I had known him as long as I could remember anything. I slammed shoulder first into the ditch, and it hurt like a mother trucker. Almost positive the truck had run him over, I looked just in time to see Troy rolling toward me. Miraculously, he was okay, other than a few scrapes and a little road rash. I pounced on him to check for any signs of him being hit, but found none. My hands were shaking, and I felt like I was about to barf, but so relieved I started chuckling like a lunatic. I looked up to the road and the truck was nowhere to be found. This was not scary as much as it was confusing. It was after 10 o'clock at night, and a truck I'd never seen came barreling out of nowhere down a road that maybe two or three people drove down during the course of a day. The thought sent a shiver through my body, but would not really begin to trouble me until much later. I helped Troy up, and we did our best to shake off the near miss. The boys were in utter disbelief that we had survived and kept asking us if we were okay. I was a tad sore, and I imagine Troy was about the same. Some of the boys were scared. I could tell by their expressions that they may start crying at any minute. This was the last thing I wanted to happen. I repeatedly assured them that we were completely fine and there was no need to be upset, and in a few minutes they began to calm down. I made all the boys promise not to tell anyone, especially not my parents. My biggest fear was that I would not be able to play outside after dark anymore. Also, if the other guys' folks heard about it, they may not let them come over anymore. I barely had any friends as it was. The game was over for the night, and it was getting way too close to 11 anyway, so I called it. We returned to the house and played games until it was time to go to sleep. The remainder of the holiday, we spent our time building forts in the woods behind the cemetery. That ended up being the last game of hide-and-seek for the year. Soon after the 1st of November, fall finally began in full. As we grew older, the weekends at the farm became fewer and fewer. A few of the boys there that night got other friends, and one boy, Nicholas, lost his life after he was hit by a car. Despite this, I look back at those days with endless happiness. I still talk to Troy about once a month. He is currently stationed at Fort Hood in Texas with his beautiful wife and two daughters. We never fail to laugh at how close we came to being killed that night, only to be overtaken by confusion and fear surrounding the circumstances in which it happened. As for me, I'm in the process of moving back to the farm with my new wife. My dad and I have been building us a new house a few acres away from the old one and hope to be moving in soon. I moved into town right out of school because I had been offered a job at one of the manufacturing places and stayed there until about a month or two ago, when I began my own business working out of the house. I have told my wife many times of how fun it was growing up out there, and we agreed there isn't any other place we'd want our kids growing up in. Seeing as Halloween is coming up soon, I wanted to wish everybody happy holidays, not just Halloween. Do not forget, the night is really for the kids. Let them have as much fun as possible, while they still can. Oh, and one more thing. Please do not forget to remind them to look both ways when crossing the street, not just when they're trick-or-treating. It should probably apply to the rest of the time, too. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Halloween horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button. It helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going. You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. I wanted to give another thanks to today's sponsor, Hunt a Killer. Go to their website, huntakiller.com/swamp, and use code SWAMP to save 20% off your Blair Witch order. I would love to see you guys playing and seeing what you guys come up with in these mysteries. If you guys want to support the channel further outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, be sure to check out the merch store. I've got face masks, t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and so much more. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.